Good morning, Oakwood. I have the privilege this morning of introducing to you our guest speaker. Several years ago, he founded and still leads today's SCORE Ministries, where he has the opportunity to minister to Major League Baseball players, coaches, and sometimes referees. And in that job, it's not just when the players come up to the majors, but it's also when they go back down to the minors. I know Jeff and his wife Carla have hosted many players in their home in that time of transition for them. And it wasn't too long ago, well, actually it was, Jeff not only limits himself to SCORE Ministries and what they do there, but he also, over the years, has reached out and helped other churches in times of transition as well and their times of distress. Such was a time for us here at Oakwood 11 years ago when Pastor Bob suggested Jeff come on board as our interim pastor, and he gracefully accepted. And I had the privilege of working with him as chairman of our search committee, and his counsel and his advice proved invaluable as we eventually, through hundreds of candidates, came across PD, who, as you know, has done a fantastic job these last 10 years leading us. So please give a warm welcome to Jeff Totten.
That's tragic. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
That is true. I was sentenced to 12 to 15 months here at Oakwood. I'm kidding. Hey, I love the time here. You know, driving up here this morning at Baldwin Road, just thinking about that period of time. You know what you think about? Are the people. And that really is what church is about, isn't it? People. And so I was so grateful for that opportunity to be here with you, minister. And then you guys partner with us now in supporting our ministry, which we're really grateful for. And thank you for that. And so thankful that God brought Don, Ted, others in your leadership here to lead this church. And excited always just to see how well you're doing here. So thanks for your partnership, and God bless you and all you do. Just curious, because I don't want to take too much time to tell you about what I do, but how many have not heard me share about what we do? Okay, so not too many. So I'll kind of give a brief little deal. Every Sunday I go to the ballpark during the season and do four chapels. We'll do a chapel for stadium workers, do one for the visiting team, coaches, players. So like if the Yankees are in town, do a chapel for them. Any Yankee fans here? Are you? There'll be an altar call in a minute and you get right with God. And I'm just kidding. But and then we do one for the Tigers and all the guys around the team. And then umpires. There's four umps at a big league game, go to their room, do a little chapel. And that's really cool with the umps. We use Braille Bibles. And thanks, some of you, I told this joke every time, so you keep laughing. So I appreciate that. But my background's pastoring, and so that really is what we do, is pastor to these guys. Anything a pastor would do is kind of what we've done, from baptisms to being there when there's been a tragedy, weddings, a counseling, all of that. So I really am grateful for your support. I'll just share about one player in particular, kind of give you an insight of their life and what we do. So in 2 years ago, at the beginning of the 23 season, the Tigers picked up a player named Mason Englert. Mason's a right-handed pitcher. He was in the Texas organization. And there's something called the Rule 5 draft. Some of you know what that is, some don't. But that means you take a player out of another organization's minor league system. They're yours now, but the deal is you got to keep them on the big league roster the whole year. And these are kids that are young, probably not quite ready, but it gives them a shot. And so Mason came to us, Rule 5. So he was with the Tigers in Detroit all year. He jumped into our chapels. And Mason had gone through a lot of mental health issues in his life. And then he jumped into our Bible study, too. And he missed a Bible study because he had to be in Toledo for a couple weeks. So when he came back up, I met with him one-on-one to catch him up at our home, sitting at our kitchen table. And it was so cool because we were talking through our study. And Mason, not a Christian, said, "Hey, Jeff, I really get who God is, but where does Jesus fit into all this?" That's a great question. It's like wide open door, right? And you can't miss that opportunity. So we shared the gospel, and there at the kitchen table, Mason prayed to receive Christ. Amen. That's really thrilling. And so he said, Jeff, you got to come talk to my girlfriend, Ella. And I'd not met Ella yet. And they were living together in Royal Oak. So we set up a time a couple weeks later, met at a coffee shop, and kind of went through the whole gospel again with Ella. And she didn't do anything right there at the coffee shop, but they go back to their apartment. She texted me later that night, said, Jeff, went back home, reread everything you gave me, and I prayed to receive Christ in my bedroom. You're learning, amen, right? And so that was like a highlight of the 2023 season. Last year, this past season, he was up and down, he was injured, so they were around us or Toledo, and really began growing in their faith and walk. And so they got engaged and said, Jeff, would you do the wedding? So I did their counseling, did their wedding last December, just 2 months ago. She's from Grand Rapids. And so here's a picture of the day before the wedding. I think, is there a picture there? There it is. This is Mason. The day before the wedding, they wanted to get baptized. So in front of 40 friends and family, at a little church there in Grand Rapids, they got baptized. They each got up and shared their faith in Christ and did a phenomenal job. So this is Mason. And then the next picture there is him being baptized. And then his wife, to-be, the next day, Ella, being baptized. And so that was really a highlight of our off season there. Here's what Mason wrote. Let me just read a little bit here. He wrote this in a card he gave to us. Joining the Tigers has led to the greatest spiritual blessings of my life. Thank you for helping us to grow to be followers of Christ. We love you a ton. And that is part of your ministry. As you enable us to do what we do, that's some of what you're doing as well. Now, here's a baseball question. What happened to Mason 2 days ago? He didn't get traded. There's something in baseball called you get DFA'd, designated for assignment. It's a nice way of saying you're what? You're fired. not really, but it means, hey, you know, the Tigers had signed somebody else. Anytime a team signs somebody, there's a trickle-down effect. It's going to affect someone else. And it happened to be Mason. And so Mason is designated for assignment. Most likely won't be back with us. But I texted him. I said, man, I'm bummed to hear the news, praying for you. And I told him, you're a missionary for Jesus going out from Detroit. And so pray for them as you think of it. But that's their lifestyle, and we get to come alongside of them and be part of it with them. Every year we do a big event at the ballpark called Home Plate, and many of you have been to it. Come to the game early. Players will come out, talk about their faith in Christ, and then stay for the game. And the gospel's presented, so it's a great thing to bring non-believers to, kind of like your men's night that you're talking about as well. And for that event every year, we print up some materials. So on the counter out here in the lobby area, feel free to take whatever you like. We have plenty of them. So if you got friends, grandkids, teammates on a little league team, but there's some baseball cards. And on the back of the cards, there's no baseball stats, but it's a story of a guy's faith in Christ. So there's an old-timer, Willie Horton. How many of you guys remember Willie? Willie came to Christ at the age of 60. How about that? About 23 years ago. And then Will Vest, one of our pitchers, a real leader on the team. And then Kerry Carpenter, another one of our guys. And there's a gospel track. So if you're going to take some of the cards to give to somebody, especially if they don't know Christ, be sure to take the track with it, okay? And then I don't have enough of these. We've kind of run out. We had a bunch of them. But if you are into sports, or if you got a son, daughter into sports, friend, I encourage you to subscribe to this magazine, Sports Spectrum. How many are familiar with this? You really ought to be. It comes out 4 times a year, and it features stories about Christian athletes at the pro and the collegiate levels, men, women, all sports. Olympics, they'll do a special edition, hockey, baseball, football, all of it. And so it's well done, and there's a devotional section in it. They'll have a player, a pro athlete, write a devotion for Monday of the week, and then a chaplain like myself, and I do some of them, Tuesday through Friday. And so you can have a little devotion through it. There's a website, and I think it's like 15 or 18 bucks a year. So Sports Spectrum, I don't get anything from it, but I really encourage you to think about reading it, looking it up, and making it a gift, a way to get the gospel and God's word into the life of somebody who's into sports and to help them grow in Christ. So, hey, thanks so much again for allowing me to be here. I appreciate the invite. We're going to look at a passage in the Bible that deals with prayer, and even more so than just prayer, our fellowship with God. It's wonderful to come together here at church. We worship, we fellowship, we learn the word, we hear from the word. But I want to talk more maybe a little bit about my own personal fellowship and yours with God. What is your relationship like with him? I love the cross for many reasons, but one of the things in one of the Bible studies we do with the Tigers is we talk about the vertical part of the cross, which is my relationship to God, and the two elements that make that up are the Bible and prayer. And then the horizontal part of the cross is my relationship with other people around me. And there's two parts to that. Fellowship with Christians, and then witnessing with non-Christians. And so it really helps me remember the four disciplines of the Christian life. And it does us all well to ask ourselves from time to time, hey, how am I doing in those four areas? Because that really is a balanced Christian life. This morning, we're going to focus on that vertical piece. My fellowship with God through prayer and through the Word of God, okay? And so when you think about prayer, there's some misconceptions, I think. I put three down in my notes, and one of them is this. I think sometimes we think prayer is supposed to be a report to God about what's happening in my life or someone else's. Hey, God, in case you didn't know, this happened. Or he knows. In fact, Matthew talks about that. And so in our culture, that might lead us to think, well, if he already knows, why do I have to pray about it? That's our culture. In the culture in which the Bible was written, you know what it meant to them? He already knows. I can talk to him about all of it. And that really is the point in the freedom of prayer. He knows everything about my life and those around me, and so I am free to talk to him about anything. Second misconception about prayer is sometimes I think we think it's a negotiation with God. Like, hey, we're going to bargain this out here. And that fits our culture too, because we do a ton of that in our lives, bargaining, making deals, but it's not that. In fact, it's not me trying to get God to align with my will, but it's me getting myself to align with what? His will. And so it's not a bargaining session. And then a third one, and this would be more when we pray as a group. Prayer is not a time to preach to the person next to you. Like, Lord, that's a great word about gossip. Help my friend here to learn it. That's not what it's supposed to be. We're not trying to preach to others. And so if prayer is really a dialogue and not a monologue. A dialogue is a what? It's a conversation. It's two-way. That really is what fellowship and prayer is to be in the Bible. So, leads to a question. Where is the very first conversation in the Bible between God and man? Genesis chapter 3. And so that's where we land today, is in Genesis chapter 3. And it's on the heels of chapters 1 and 2, creation, where God repeatedly said at the end of each day, what? It is good. And that, guys and gals, that sets the premise for the Bible. God is a good God who wants to give good things. Okay? That's the premise of the Bible right there. Then in chapter 3, what happens? Adam and Eve, what? Sin. And so now you have a break in that relationship. And we pick up the conversation in chapter 3 and verse 8. And so let me read this here. Follow along if you like. But verse 8 says this. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. You note that there's a familiarity there. They knew the sound of when God was there. Are you familiar with that? Am I familiar with that? Hey, that's God speaking. By His, as you're learning, His Holy Spirit. Or that's God speaking through His Word to me. Or that's God speaking through the prayer time and the peace in my heart. That's God. So they were familiar with hearing from God. And then secondly, it says in the cool of the day. Most people think that would be evening time. And it was it shows us that there was a regularity to it. This just wasn't, you know, I got some free time, I'll pick up the Bible today. This was daily, they fellowshiped with God. And that really does set the example for us, a regular pattern to being with God in His Word and in prayer. And so then it picks up in verse number 8. Cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So let's just stop there for a minute. I love the visual. Okay? Here they are. Hey, let's hide back here. He won't see us. We're good. And you know what is amazing? They're hiding among the very things that God gave them to bless them. God had created those trees, said, these are good for you. And that's where they run to hide from God. You know, we can be guilty of the same thing. We can take things that God has blessed us with and hide from God in those. Wealth. We live in an affluent area here. I don't know your personal situation, but we live in a wealthy area, certainly as compared to the rest of the world. And sometimes we can hide in our wealth, something that God has blessed us with. You know, maybe my spiritual life's not what it should be, but man, I got a nice house. I got a great boat. We take wonderful vacations, and we can kind of get lost in those things and hide from God in them. Another one is family. And again, I don't know all your family situations, but God blesses us with a family, a spouse, children, grandchildren. And it's easy, parents, to sometimes hide. I got a great family. And man, my spouse really loves God. Maybe I'm not there, but I'm going to feel good about it because she's there or he's there or my parents are there. And it's easy sometimes to hide from God in a good family. You know what else? How about a good church? You're at a wonderful place here. Man, we come and worship. Thanks for the great worship today from the band. We got great fellowship groups, some wonderful activities. And it's easy even to hide from God in church. And so that's what they did. And that is a natural thing to do when we're not in the right relationship with God, is we want to hide. You remember the story in the book of Exodus when Moses went up into the mountain, and while he was up in the mountain, what did the people do down below? They built a calf and worshiped, and much sin took place. Down comes Moses, and it says that as Moses then addressed the people, that the people, there was trembling, and the next phrase says, and they stood afar off. Isn't that a telling statement? That when we're not where we should be spiritually, it's easy to want to stand afar off from God. And so we see that here. Let's go on then and read real quick. It says then in verse number 9, but the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. He said, who told you you were naked, and have you eaten of the tree I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you've done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. And so you see there the very first ever conversation between God and man. Okay? And what is the form of that conversation? There's some principles to learn. One principle is prayer is expected by God. God showed up and expected to meet with them. You know, God expects to meet with you and me in his word and in prayer. Jesus reiterated that. What did Jesus say? When you pray, not if you pray, but what? I expect you to pray. I want to spend time with you. And so it's expected by God. Secondly, prayer was initiated by God. God was seeking them out. They were not seeking God out. And that is our natural bent as fallen human beings to want to not go toward God. That's taught throughout the Bible. But when we come to faith in Christ, Holy Spirit lives within us. We ought to be drawn to him, and he continually calls us out to meet with him. And he wants to do that. Kind of like a dad loves it when the son or daughter comes up and sits on his lap in that easy chair. Just want to be with you and spend time with you. And so prayer is something that God initiates. And then finally, in that conversation that they have, God with Adam and Eve, what is the form of the conversation of the statements that God makes? Everyone is in the form of a what? Question. I'd say this. Our fellowship with God is really a time of examination. Like, God wants to know what's going on in my life and in your life as well. And so three questions are asked in that passage. And let's just look at these briefly. The first is this. In verse 9, the first question is, hey, where are you? And from that we learn that we need to examine our relationship with God. Great question to ask today. Where are you at spiritually? I told you the story a few minutes ago of a Mason and Ella. And you can see where they went, where they were at spiritually with God 2 years ago, apart from him, to coming to faith in him, to being baptized, and now, and they've already been doing it, wanting to share their faith with others. Where are you at in your spiritual walk? If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, boy, I'd love to talk to you after the service. Other people here would talk to you. Person you brought, who brought you would love to talk to you. But to know that I am rightly related to God through Jesus Christ. And so that is fundamental right there. And then after you come to faith in Christ, if you've never been baptized, baptism doesn't save you, but it's a public profession of your faith to say, I've received Christ and I'm a follower of his. And so, folks, a great question to ask yourself today is, where are you at? Here's the second question that God posed to Adam and Eve. He said, who told you you were naked? That speaks to, what is the authority in your life that you listen to? Who do you listen to? Social media? That podcast? What makes the difference in your life? For them, they had been listening to what God would say, but now they were to listen to what the devil said. And it caused all sorts of problems for them. Sin came into their lives, into the world. And so, ask ourselves, what is the authority in my life that I go to? I want to show you a video clip. Of course, today, how many are going to watch the Super Bowl this afternoon or this evening? I know our team's not in it. Were you surprised? I'm kidding. But a few years ago at one of the Super Bowl weeks, one of the quarterbacks who's now retired, Eli Manning. Eli Manning had been the quarterback for the New York Giants, led them to two Super Bowl victories. And he was speaking to a group of kids. And the kid, one kid, you'll see it, asked him about the helmet technology that they have to where there's a speaker in the helmet of the quarterback for plays to be called in from a coach. And then some medical question. So we're just going to worry about that first one. And it's about a minute long. So let's show that clip here.
Tyler, I'm going to you now.
Eli, do you
Well, we have a lot of technology. Obviously, I have my offensive coordinator can talk to me through my helmet. I have a little speaker in my helmet, and when the play clock, before it hits 15 seconds, it starts at 40, so from 40 to 15, he can talk to me as much, and then at 15 seconds, it cuts off. And I can't talk back to him. Sometimes I wish I could talk back to him, but he just calls the play. He says, all right, Eli, here you go, and all trips right, 62 cafe, X plants, and so I'll relay that to the players. And sometimes I actually, you'll kind of see me doing this. It means I can't hear it, and sometimes I'm pretending I can't hear it because I don't like the play, and I want to call my own play. But he doesn't know that. They never know. So he's questioned me a few times, but I said I didn't hear the play. But and then the medical staff also, the technology they have, being able to,
we'll be stopping there.
The game, if you do get injured, be able to.
So here's our helmet and the Holy Spirit, and God's calling plays in our lives. And you know what I'm really good at doing? I'm good at doing this. Like, I don't want to hear that. I don't like that. I want to do what I want to do. And prayer and being in God's Word teaches us, because God says, hey, who you listening to right now? You listening to me, or you got someone else in your life you're listening to? And so prayer reminds us and causes us to ask the question, hey, who is the authority in my life as a follower of Christ? And then the last one, and we wrap up here. The last question he asks is, what is this that you have done? And that speaks to examine your own responsibility for sin. We're real good at doing what? Blaming others. They did it here, right? Hey, it was Eve. No, it was the serpent. Coming up with excuses, rationalizing it. We got to be honest about our own lives and our responsibilities for our own sin, and then the relationships I have in life. What is it that I'm doing to build up, or have I done things to hurt? And so we have to be honest about it. Now, thankfully, we don't have to bear that burden on our own. Because as I understand, I'm responsible for my sin, but I can't pay that debt. And so that's why we read many places in the Bible, but 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, God made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen? And I'm responsible for my sin, but somebody else paid that debt, and that's Christ. And so I just want to encourage you, as you go from here today, as you examine, and that really is what prayer is, where I'm at in life, have that vertical relationship with God through prayer, through the Bible. I'll close with this, and this really helped me and kind of changed my life. Many times I was taught, I spend time reading the Bible, spend time praying. So I would do this. I would read maybe a chapter in the Bible, put it down, and then pray. And so maybe I took 10 minutes there and 5 minutes here to pray. And many times what I was praying about was totally unrelated to what I had just read. And that conversation, if we did that in our human relationships, it wouldn't go very well. I guarantee you, if you go home and your wife says to you, hey, honey, let me tell you about the day-to-day of things that went on. And what the kids did, and what happened with this and that. And the next thing out of your mouth is, hey, what time does the game start? It ain't going to be a fun night, okay? Because you're talking about something totally unrelated to what the other person was talking about. And I hope you don't do that with God. Really, we ought to be reading his word and realize he's talking to me right now. And so I read a passage like 1 Corinthians 13 on love, maybe then when I start to pray, my prayer ought to begin with what? Lord, help me to be a more loving person. Or Lord, thank you for the way you've loved me. And then I'll get to the other stuff later that's going on in my life. But let's not kind of blow God off. He's talking about this. Let's talk to him about that. And so have that relationship with him built on the Word of God and prayer. Father, thanks so much for this passage, kind of the very beginning of what a relationship with you looks like. When you spoke to Adam and Eve, you sought them out. You had questions for them. And Father, may we respond to the things that you talk to us about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.